Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We are with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, we spoke briefly yesterday about the mental health toll, not only mental health, but physical health that's occurring because of the stay-at-home orders in many places around the country and the world. I saw that on average, Americans are gaining about 5 pounds, and we know that depression and addiction issues, as well as domestic violence, are surging in some spots.
That's right. And there are at least anecdotal reports of suicide, David. So this country is, and the world have been locked down. And what happens is when you are alone in a house or when you have a few loved ones with you, it can take a terrible toll. I know personally that my proximity to the refrigerator is so much greater than when I'm at work. I'm eating more, and I gained a pound, not a lot. You know, I work out every day. But the fact is that this is a very dangerous thing for Americans. Your blood pressure can go up, and your food that you eat can be not good for you in terms of gaining weight and everything else. So we are experiencing a whole bunch of ancillary things that happen when they change their way of and style of living.
And all of that affects your immunity.
Apparently, that's what the doctors are saying. At least some doctors, that when you gain weight, you put yourself at risk because people who are more obese tend to have more medical issues. That doesn't mean everybody who's obese does. It just means that your risks go up. And we know from our experience in the past that that's the case.
Well, it's certainly the case that states and cities all across this country and the world are going to be hit and have already been hit with sizable economic pain. And the state of New York hit extremely hard. The latest number, $13 billion in debt. We heard from Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday. He's expected to meet with President Trump today, Alan, to discuss those all-important federal funds for state projects, including repairing commuter rail tunnels in New York City. There's a lot riding on this money.
Oh, there's no question. We know, David, that this president has no love for the blue states who didn't vote for him. And when he attacks the blue states, he energizes his base. They like it. You know, California, New York, Massachusetts, they are states that vote blue and aren't going to vote for him no matter what happens. And so he finds it easy to target them. And that's not all. Yesterday, I know you were going to ask me about this, so I'll get ahead of you on this. Joe Biden did an interview with CNN, and he called the president a fool. Now, there are a lot of ways to define the word fool. But if you think that a president who, instead of protecting his people and wearing a mask, starts to talk about Joe Biden wearing a mask as if that's a bad thing, then he is truly a fool. It may be that he knows what he's doing. He's energizing his base. He's trying to portray Biden as looking weak. But I saw the entire interview, and I thought Biden handled himself extremely well. And that one word, fool, goes a long way towards countering what this president does. Now, we see that Twitter, David, is basically saying you have to educate yourself to people on these issues that the president is tweeting about. And it is a very difficult thing for Twitter because the president immediately said, get this, my freedom of speech to destroy, my freedom to say that Joe Scarborough killed somebody who worked for him when the widow of the woman who died says this is not true, this needs to be stopped. And when the president tweets on that, Twitter will not correct that either. So clearly, Twitter is going to be very scared of their number one client, the president, who every night sits up there like a mad king in his tower and tweets terrible, despicable, awful things. And at the same time, we're seeing, because you can't separate these things out. If you have a president who even subliminally or subtly shows racist tendencies, then police and others in some cases, we see one man, George Floyd, being, and I saw the clip on the television, being forced to the ground with a police officer's knee in his neck, and he's yelling, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. I saw his siblings on television weeping that they would never see their brother again. He had been fired. They're demanding that the officers be indicted for murder. And this is not the first time in recent days this is happening. When a president even subtly suggests that it's okay, because as we remember from Charlottesville, there are good people on either side. That's a signal that this is acceptable behavior. And it's awful, just awful.
I mean, we know that freedom of speech does have limits, right? I mean, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Is that what the president is doing here?
Well, here is this president of the United States is suggesting that his freedom of speech has been stopped. What a bunch of nonsense. If he tells a lie and Twitter says this is a lie or implies it because they sure didn't go far enough, and little letters that they used at the bottom of his tweet is hardly sufficient, that is not saying freedom of speech has been limited. Hey, if he wasn't allowed to tweet, he could make the argument, although I would suggest that if you're going to tell lies, it is appropriate to say, no, you can't tell lies in my company.
Oh, while this is going on, who gets hurt the most? From the New York Times this morning, as child hunger soars, federal aid lags. We see companies, even the richest hospitals, getting money, but again, the weakest to the least among us suffer.
It's as Republican as apple pie. You help the big corporations, you help the people who need it the least, and you basically screw those people who are at the bottom of the social and economic rung. And this president ran. He said certain things about how much people were paying for drugs and rest. All that turns out to be garbage. He didn't mean it. And now we are seeing this kind of favoritism playing out the way that it always has, but now really happening.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. It's always great to get your thoughts each morning.
And David, it's always great to talk to you. You know the questions to ask, and that makes all the difference in the world. We thank you so much.